Dear parishioners, I wanted to start with a story that will help illustrate what I want to speak about today, and it's a very mundane story. In the last few months, they have a couple of stray cats that hang around the rectory, and I've been feeding them. They have that forlorn look in their eyes, and just can't wait until you put their food down on the ground so they can have at it. I haven't seen them recently. I don't know what happened. Maybe they found better food elsewhere. Don't know. But anyway, needed to buy some cat food. So I stopped at the Petco store here at North Point. It was towards the end of the day. And when I was walking up into this to get go inside the store, I saw a lady putting away a number of items, apparently, that had been out in front. And so I inquired a bit what had gone on there. And she excitedly told me, we had 25 adoptions today. For a split second, I was thinking, why would you be adopting babies in front of Petco or PetSmart, whatever the name of the store is? And then I realized, oh, she was talking about animals being adopted, which means they weren't adopted. There's no such thing as a human being adopting an animal. Adoption is a very noble, very generous, very serious thing. It's when a human being adopts another human being, and typically an adult adopting a child or baby, and bestowing all the rights and inheritance as though that child were of one's own flesh and blood. So by this definition, animals don't get adopted. What she meant, obviously she was an animal lover, she really likes animals. You know, these animals are going to be very well taken care of by their adopted parents or adoptive parents. But they don't, you see, you don't bestow inheritance rights. You can't bestow human rights on an animal. It wouldn't mean anything to them. They don't know anything. As we know, animals don't think. They have a sentient nature, yes, and we should use them appropriately. We shouldn't ever abuse animals, but we use them for food, for, you know, companionship. I mean, if it's properly done, this is God's plan. So why did I bring up this story? Because I'm thinking of the significance of bestowal of name by parents and also about the adoption that we all experience, a true adoption by Almighty God in our baptism. In a week from tomorrow, we'll be celebrating the what is called the baptism of our Lord. So today is the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, and we're reminded of, and this is from St. Matthew's Gospel, when St. Joseph was very perplexed to know how Mary was with child, and they were not married yet, they were betrothed, and St. Jerome says, of course he was perplexed, not knowing what was meant here, but we know that St. Joseph and Our Lady were, of course, in a virginal marriage, and the angel told him, this goes to show the power and dignity of St. Joseph, says, what has happened is that she conceived of the Holy Ghost. And some of the fathers think that St. Joseph already knew ahead of time. But that is what was St. Joseph was told, that God became man in her. And this goes to show again the dignity of St. Joseph, you will call his name Jesus. The father of the family bestowed the name. I believe it happened for baby boys at their circumcision. So imagine the dignity of St. Joseph, who adopted Jesus, became his foster father. He had, therefore, the authority to bestow a name upon him. And that name was Jesus the Savior. How holy is this name? Names are very powerful. Words are powerful. What's so powerful about a name? It's your identity. It's who you are. Very hard to separate the idea of your name from your person, because this person needs a name. So our parents bestowed a name upon us. Our Christian name was given to us in holy baptism. And I urge parents to research ahead of time the saint names before they, you know, in the process of choosing a saint's name for their children in baptism. Know about the saint whom you want to have as a special protection over your son or daughter. But this even pales in comparison to what happens in our baptism. We are adopted by God. As I said, a human being can't adopt an animal because the animal cannot benefit from any bestowal of human rights. But God, because he loves us so much, and remember, this was the greatest gift God gave to Adam and Eve. He adopted them. Now, they couldn't become divine, but we came closest to being divine by being given God's own life. That's sanctifying grace. That is what we received in our supernatural adoption. What did you inherit by that? When a human being adopts another human being, they bestow all the rights that they would have as natural born children. To all intents and purposes, to all appearances, that's my child. What did you get with your baptism? You received the very life of God himself, and you got the right to heaven. And it's worth a lot more than anything on earth. Let's say that you were adopted by a trillionaire. There's no such thing, but let's say somebody had trillions of dollars. And that person adopted you. When that person would die, you would inherit, unless the will specified otherwise, trillions of dollars. Can you imagine the ingratitude of a person like this who rips up his adoption papers, throws them back into the face of the person who adopted, says, I don't want to have this. I don't want to be your adopted child. The horror of such a thing. And yet, my dear brethren, this is what happens when mortal sin is committed. We rip up our adoption papers. We throw it back at God and say, I don't want this. I don't want you. I'd rather have this forbidden pleasure than what you give to me. So it's just one way to understand how important it is that we preserve the life of sanctifying grace. It has to have our greatest effort to preserve our state of supernatural adoption, so that whenever our Lord calls us, we have this life of God in us. We have the right to heaven. We have our eternal inheritance. So let us treasure what treasure our Catholic faith and know your baptismal date and celebrate it. I will confess that for years I didn't know mine, but it really struck me one day, I need to be much more aware of this. I need to be more appreciative of this. And just as I celebrate the birthday of my body every year, I need to celebrate the birthday of my soul every year. It's even more important because the soul is more important than the body, is it not? And our soul, when it was created by God, when we were still within the womb of our mothers, was in a very unfortunate condition, was it not? We came, by the very fact of human conception, we have original sin on our soul. It's not a sin we committed, but it's still an inherited sin. We inherit that state of rebellion against God, which Adam and Eve incurred. And thank God for baptism, because that washes that terrible blight from the soul and gives it eternal inheritance. So celebrate. Well, know, first of all, your baptismal date, whenever it was. Mark it down. That's the day I was spiritually born. You see, our souls they existed, but they weren't born in a supernatural sense. They were not alive with sanctifying grace. You can see why the church urges parents to have the baptism as soon as possible after birth, not to wait. Why have that state, that unfortunate spiritual condition of the soul? Have the baptism as soon as possible. In the old country, you read so often that the day of birth was the day of baptism. As long as the baby's health was sufficiently strong, for the baby to be wrapped up and taken to the church, make the baby a child of God. Give the child his or her eternal inheritance as soon as possible. This idea of baptism fits in again with this Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, because that was the official bestowal of the name of Jesus at his circumcision, which is analogous to baptism. And this is also a great opportunity to be reminded of devotion to the Holy Name of Jesus. And this is a specific goal we're working on right now in St. Michael's Academy, to really encourage the students to bow their heads at the names of Jesus and Mary. And in the Mass, whenever the name of Jesus occurs, the priest not only bows, but he turns towards the cross, unless he's at the Gospel where he's already somewhat turned away. But the church teaches the priest, and it's a good lesson for all of us, to reverence the name of Jesus by bowing our heads. And even at the name of Mary, there's an inclination of the head, a little less deep, but it's to honor the name of Mary, which is so powerful. So, as a matter of fact, there's the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Mary. We celebrate that every year on September 12th, and that was instituted in thanksgiving for the victory at the Battle of Vienna, which was against the Ottoman Turks, the Muslims that were threatening Europe in 1683. So we honor the name of Mary, but most especially the name without which one cannot be saved. That's what we hear in the Acts of the Apostles. St. Peter is telling them, after he made this lame man walk, who absolutely could not walk, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, I tell you, get up and walk. And everybody's astounded. And St. Peter says, you shouldn't be that astounded, because it's by the power of this miraculous name. Yes, you crucified him. You rejected him. But this man stands here before you by the power of the name of Jesus. And St. Peter reminds them of a prophecy, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's quite the refutation for ecumenism, false ecumenism, isn't it? That you can be saved in any, just be sincere in any religion. No, there's no salvation except through this name. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So as I said earlier, names are powerful. Words are powerful. They signify very important things. And in so many cases, they even seem like it's the identity of the thing itself when we think of our name. So we know the name of Jesus, destined from all eternity, the name of him who would pour out his blood in the worst sufferings imaginable upon the cross for us. So that is the name by which we were redeemed. May it be the name through which we are saved, through our love and appreciation and thanksgiving for it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.